Politico London Playbook, Brexit Groundhog Day, schools out for the summer? Trump arrives home. By Jack Blanchard. Send tips here, subscribe for free, view in your browser. Good Tuesday morning. Driving the day. Brexit Groundhog Day, Theresa May faces yet another common showdown today as angry rebel MPs seek to rewrite her Brexit strategy for the umpteenth time. Angry Tory Remainiacs, so narrowly defeated in last night's impromptu rebellion, will today seek their revenge with a fresh parliamentary bid to keep Britain inside the customs union. The Remainers had backed away from this strategy over the weekend to give the PM's Chequers plan a chance to fly, but are now enraged by Downing Street's capitulation to the Brexit squad yesterday. Tory MP Stephen Hammond and Nicky Morgan have put forward a new amendment to the trade bill that would force the government to try to keep Britain inside the customs union if it hasn't managed to secure frictionless trade with the EU by mid-January. The Sun's Tom Newton Dunn got the scoop, read his story here. Voting on the trade bill begins mid-afternoon, with the customs union vote likely to take place around 6 p.m., although plenty could change before then. First read this. My Politico colleagues Tom McTague and Annabelle Dixon have a detailed write-up of yesterday's Commons drama, which had been billed as a big moment and certainly did not disappoint. Number 10's decision to accept the Brexiteer rewrite of the Chequers plan earlier in the day so enraged the Tory Remainers that they tried to vote down the amendments, despite the government whipping Tory MPs to accept them. In the end, the government survived the ambush by the skin of its teeth, winning on a couple of the amendments by just 3 votes. It did not go unnoticed that 3 Leave-supporting Labour MPs, 4 if you include the suspended Kelvin Hopkins, defied Jeremy Corbyn and voted with their Tory opponents. Had even a couple voted with their own party, the government would have been defeated. Photo du jour, Tory Brexiteer organiser Steve Baker deep in conversation with Leave-supporting Labour MPs on the floor of the House. 2 of the 3 went on to vote with the Tories. Tweet du jour. This response from the official Vauxhall Labour Party account to news their MP Kate Hoey helped the government win through. Not just Labour, no comment yet from the UK's most pro-EU party on the whereabouts of Lib Dem leader Vince Cable or his predecessor Tim Farron last night. All we know is the records show they didn't turn up for the knife edge vote. Cable was certainly around earlier in the day, appearing on BBC Radio 2 at lunchtime to make the case for a second referendum and tweeting angrily about the Brexit chaos at 3:44 p.m. Farron was due to be speaking at a town hall in Dorset last night at an event on faith and politics. He tweeted at 10:51 p.m. that he'll be back in the Commons today. There are plenty of Remainers going bananas on Twitter this morning. The big question today is whether Labour will back the Tory rebels in this evening's customs union vote. It seems like a no-brainer given Labour policy is to stay in the customs union, but the Hammond/Morgan amendment was only put forward yesterday evening and the party wants time to study the implications of its first clause, read it here. The clause supports staying outside the customs union if a frictionless trade deal can be done by January. That seems implausible given where the Brexit negotiations are at, but it has still given Labour pause for thought. Opposition Chief Whip Nick Brown told Labour MPs at last night's PLP meeting that the amendment is being studied closely and that a decision will be made today. If Labour decides to vote with the Tory rebels, it looks like being another absolute squeaker. H.T. Jess Elgott for the excellent phrase, for the government this evening. The Remainiac rebels only lost by 3 votes last night, and they have a full day to get organized this time round. How angry are the Remainers? Hoo boy. Check these tweets from the Tory chairwoman of the Commons Health Committee, Sarah Wollaston, last night. Those of us who wanted to give the government the opportunity to get through a pragmatic deal have now seen that fatally undermined by ERG. So there is really no point continuing to support it. Brexit options are now to walk away with no deal or EEA/EFTA and a customs union. There is no parliamentary majority for hard Brexit. Resignation watch. Yesterday's big resignation was a Remainer, with Defence Minister Guido Bebb quitting his job to vote against the Brexiteer amendments. As many pointed out on the Twitter, at lunchtime this was government policy but by the end of the day had become a resigning offence. It takes the current ministerial resignations tally to 5. David Davis, Steve Baker and Boris Johnson from the Brexit side, and Philip Lee and Guido Bebb from the Remainers. The Brexiteers' ranks are swollen further by the departure of a couple of Tory party vice chairs and a gaggle of unpaid ministerial aides. We may well see more departures today. In search of fudge, The government's strategy at every stage when faced with a tight commons vote has been to barter and offer concessions to the rebels. As a result, we've seen countless big climb downs over the past 9 months, but only one actual commons defeat so far. Equally, the Tory Remainers have repeatedly blinked at the final moment before following through on their threats. So it's far from clear whether this will even make it to a vote. Stuck in the middle with EU, the bigger picture is that Downing Street's cave into the Brexiteers has left many politicos wondering if there really is any Brexit deal that can get through the divided Commons. The PM's Chequers deal was designed to win support from both wings of her warring party, but is under attack from all sides and looks hold beneath the waterline today. Jubilant Brexiteers believe Brussels will now reject the Chequers' plan, forcing Mrs. May to think again, The Telegraph reports excitedly. However, the Times' Oliver Wright suggests the government was happy to climb down in the knowledge it needs a parliamentary majority to push its Brexit plan through anyway, and if it has won, can always amend the legislation at a later date. So what happens next? It's currently hard to see any path through that Parliament would vote for. Writing in the Times today, Rachel Sylvester says former Cabinet Minister Justine Greening is right, and the only solution is to go back to the people with a three-way referendum offering no deal, the PM's deal or remaining inside the EU. Support for the idea appears to be growing. The Daily Mail's Jason Groves has spoken to the Best for Britain campaign, which reckons 10 Tory MPs are lined up to back a second vote. But in the Telegraph, former Tory leader William Hague says another vote would be completely disastrous due to the impact on British society. Families, communities, political parties and the nations of the UK would be divided seriously and bitterly, Hague writes. It isn't worth it. This country can be a success inside or outside the EU, but it can't prosper or be a happy place to live with ever deeper polarization and resentment. His solution, however, is for the Tory party to pull itself together and start working as a unit. Good luck with that. Meanwhile, in Brussels, Michel Barnier is hosting members of the House of Lords EU committees for private talks today. Jean-Claude Juncker and Donald Tusk are in Tokyo for talks with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. They will hold a joint presser at around 10 a.m. UK time. And back home in Blighty, May chairs cabinet this morning. Then meetings will be held in number 10 through the day with the heads of local conservative associations, in a bid to convince them the PM is on the right track with Brexit. She will even host a conference call this evening with association chiefs unable to make the trip to London. It all feels like a bit of a lost cause. Meanwhile in DC, the morning after, Donald Trump landed back in the U.S. this morning to predictable levels of outrage following that extraordinary press conference with Vladimir Putin. Politico's David Herzenhorn was in Helsinki. You can read his verdict here. The key to gauging how bad this is for the president is to look beyond the usual anti-Trump anger and see the reaction of his cheerleaders in the Republican movement. There are definitely signs of dismay in places you would not expect to see them, including among guests and hosts on the normally supportive Fox News. The most notable attack was this tweet from former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Politico's Christopher Cadelago considers the fallout. Essential reading, this piece in the Washington Post goes behind the scenes ahead of the Trump/Putin summit, and is highly recommended. Administration officials had hoped that maybe, just maybe, Monday's summit between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin would end differently, without a freewheeling 46-minute news conference in which Trump attacked his own FBI on foreign soil and warmly praised arch-rival Russia, the Post's Ashley Parker and Josh Dossi report. Ahead of the meeting, staffers provided Trump with some 100 pages of briefing materials aimed at laying out a tough posture toward Putin. But the president ignored most of it, according to one person familiar with the discussion. Trump's remarks were very much counter to the plan, the person said. Not impressed. The New York Daily News is no friend of Trump. But even by its standards, today's front page is hard-hitting. Read the full text of yesterday's press conference here, if you can bear it. In the meantime, Fox News aired post-summit TV interviews with both Trump and Putin this morning, although nothing they could say was ever going to come close to the jaw-dropping sight of a U.S. president siding with a hostile foreign power over his own administration officials. The Fox interview with Trump was the usual underarm stuff, but the interview with Putin was actually quite good. For one, Fox interviewer Chris Wallace actually raised the nerve agent attack in Salisbury with Putin, unlike Trump in the press conference. Read the Guardian write-up here. He also pressed him on the extrajudicial killing of so many of Putin's opponents. Read the transcript here. Now read this. Reuters reports this morning that unnamed figures connected to Breitbart, whoever could they be? Convinced a representative of Donald Trump to lobby the UK government for the release of pocket-sized far-right activist Stephen Yaxley Lennon, also known as Tommy Robinson. Reuters' Mark Hosenbull writes, a representative of US President Donald Trump raised the case of jailed British anti-Muslim activist Tommy Robinson with Britain's ambassador to the United States following lobbying by the right-wing Breitbart.com website. According to a British government source and a pro-Robinson campaigner, former US Senator Sam Brownback, Trump's ambassador for international religious freedom, told British envoy Sir Kim Darroch at a meeting in June that Breitbart people had contacted him about Robinson's imprisonment, the British government source said. An antitrust decision regarding Google Android will be released by the Commission this week. Read what Europe's standoff with the tech giant means for competition in our newsletter Fair Play. For a complimentary trial, email pro@politico.eu and mention Fair Play. Today in Westminster. Today's other big vote is on government plans to bring forward the last day of term to this Thursday, meaning MPs would not have to return for a couple of days next week. Whitehall sources point out there is no pressing business planned on Monday and Tuesday next week, only backbench and adjournment debates, and little else. But the optics are dreadful, with number 10 looking like it's running for the hills and with backbench MPs being asked to vote for extra days off work. May gives MPs early summer holiday to save your job, the I front page screams. Several Tory MPs including Nick Bowles have already said they will vote against the plan. Plenty of Labour MPs are also opposed. But the party has not yet decided how its MPs will be whipped. If Labour does indeed vote against the plan, it looks likely it could fail. The vote is scheduled for the end of the day, shortly after 7 p.m. Carney on tour. Bank of England Governor Mark Carney gives evidence to the Commons Treasury Committee this morning in a special session at Farnborough Airshow. The event kicks off at 9 a.m. and will be live-streamed as usual. Monthly employment stats are out at 9:30 a.m. via the ONS. Read them here. Labour democracy shakeup. Labour's ruling NEC meets this morning to rubber-stamp Jeremy Corbyn's plan to rewrite the party rule book. There's plenty of contentious stuff in there, most of it already trailed, including plans to basically abolish M.P.'s veto over future party leaders and also open up the way council leaders and even party policies are decided. But there appears to be no big move to make it easier to deselect MPs, despite all the hype earlier in the year. The plan will be agreed by the NEC today but will require final sign-off in a big vote at conference this autumn. HuffPost's Paul Waugh has the story. Harassment plan. Commons leader Andrea Leadsom will today publish her cross-party plan for a new independent complaints procedure against MPs who harass or bully staff. It's basically as reported over the weekend. The Guardian's Pippa Crerar has the details. MPs will vote on the plan this Thursday. Inside Facebook, more must-see telly tonight from the Channel 4 Dispatches team, who go undercover to get inside Facebook's moderation service and discover how staff decide which abusive posts are allowed to stay online. If you start censoring, people lose interest, one staffer says on camera. It's all about making money at the end of the day. The Sun has the story. The show starts at 9 p.m. OBR report, the Office for Budget Responsibility will publish its latest fiscal projections this morning. The FT says there will be dire warnings about the state of the public finances following the as-yet-unfunded pledge of £20.5 billion a year for the NHS. More pressure on Griffiths. Most of the papers go big again on shamed ex-minister Andrew Griffiths, with a campaign growing for him to quit as an MP. Ominously, the Daily Mail makes him its most prominent politics story for the second day running, with another big spread that comes ahead of Brexit and Trump versus Putin in the paper. Keep an eye on, the government will today publish an independent review into the Home Office's handling of child sexual abuse in Rotherham. Spend a penny. International Development Secretary Penny Mordaunt discusses the future of UK aid after Brexit before a Commons Select Committee this afternoon. Media Round. International Trade Secretary Liam Fox broadcast round. BBC Breakfast, 7:10 a.m., Sky Sunrise, 7:30 a.m., LBC Radio, 7:40 a.m., Today Programme, 8:10 a.m. Also on the Today Programme, Tory MP Heidi Allen, 7:10 a.m., former Tory leader Ian Duncan Smith, 8:30 a.m. Daily Politics, BBC Two, noon, Tory MP Nadine Dorries and The Economist Sam McElvoy. Reviewing the papers tonight, BBC News. 10:40 p.m., Playbook's own Jack Blanchard and the FT Sebastian Payne. Sky News, 10:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Scottish political commentator Aisha Hazarika and The Sun's political editor Tom Newton Dunn. Today's front pages. Click on the publication's name to see its front page. Daily Express, hose pipe ban for millions. Daily Mail, hose pipe ban hits millions. Daily Mirror, Putin's poodle, Trump branded a traitor. Financial Times, Trump defends Putin over U.S. election meddling accusations. HuffPost, Brexistential crisis. May gives MPs early summer holiday to save her job. Metro, the wreckers of Chequers. The Daily Telegraph, Chequers deal is dead, say rebels. The Guardian, nothing short of treasonous, Trump accused over Putin talks. The Independent, May's Chequers deal dead in the water. The Sun, dim blue line, police refuse to investigate phone theft. The Times, May's Brexit plan in turmoil. On the Continent, read what the rest of Europe's papers are saying in Politico's EU Press Review blog here, updated daily at around 8 a.m. Beyond the M25. From Edinburgh. My Bell, Michelle Obama is in Scotland and will be speaking at the Edinburgh International Conference Centre this evening. Details here. From Dublin. House shopping anyone? The Irish government has spent almost €1 billion on buying private housing sector homes since 2011, the Irish Times reports. It would have been cheaper to build new social housing. According to Dara O'Brien, a housing minister from opposition party Fianna Fáil. From Moscow, by way of Scotland. Salmon Zarty Show, former Scottish First Minister Alex Salmon has come under fire from Ofcom for misleading his audience in his show for RT. Read Guardian Media editor Jim Watterson's piece here. London Culling. Westminster weather, sun, sunny with clouds, sun, a breezy and sunny day, reaching highs of 25°C. Transport, no service on the Piccadilly Line Acton Town to Uxbridge westbound and severe delays Acton Town to Heathrow all terminals as a result of a faulty train. Spotted, at last night's party for Tory think tank Freer at the Institute for Economic Affairs. Where guests enjoyed Spanish-themed canapés including prawns and chorizo. Calamari and croquettes, were, Chief Secretary to the Treasury Liz Truss. Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab, Tory Party Vice Chairwoman Kemi Badenoch. Tory MPs Luke Graham, Lee Rowley, Ben Bradley, Bob Seeley, Eddie Hughes and John Penrose, lobby hacks Ben Glaze and Harry Cole. Telegraph Brexit editor Dia Chakravarti, Cups editor Robert Colville, and many more. The Dom Raab special, Truss was the warm-up act for Raab's first proper speech as Brexit secretary. And it's fair to say her intro did not disappoint. Uncowed by the pushback against her teasing of cabinet colleagues the other week. She told those present that people don't want a state on steroids but more ability to control their own lives. She went on, freedom to choose is very important to me. I want the freedom to be able to eat a donut or drink a glass of wine. Our speaker tonight wants the freedom to eat the same meal at Pret a Manger every day of the week, and I applaud that freedom. She then introduced Raab as the vitamin volcano of No. 9 Downing Street, which is definitely a nickname that could catch on. Raab rolled with the punches, opening his remarks by saying, I want to thank the IEA for supporting Freer. There's far more food variety here than what I usually have for lunch, but that's what Freer supports, choice. Drain the swamp. Londoners might like the £5 billion super sewer. A new three-part documentary starting tonight on BBC Two about the massive upgrade of the capital's sewer system. Details here, showtime is 9 p.m. Politicos might have liked, The Layman Trilogy. A play in three parts now showing at the National Theatre about the rise and fall of Lehman Brothers. It's directed by Sam Mendes, it's getting absolutely rave reviews. And every single ticket for every single performance is sold out. Devastated. Brexit industry update, Britain's former permanent representative to the EU, Ivan Rogers, has joined the board of M&I Market News, a leading financial news service. His responsibilities include 2 to 3 days per quarter attending meetings with clients on Brexit issues, as well as assisting M&I generally with its financial journalism. Details here via COBA. Also via COBA, Theresa May's former cabinet office minister Ben Gummer has a new gig with McKinsey advising foreign governments on reform. Details here. Hopefully these foreign powers won't be after tips on drawing up election-winning manifestos. Happy birthday to DUP leader Arlene Foster, Tory peer and Education Secretary John Paton, Tory peer and former Brexit Minister Joyce Annaley, Tory peer and former Defence Minister Andrew Robathan, unaffiliated peer Paula Udin, and German Chancellor Angela Merkel, who turns 64. Playbook couldn't happen without my editors Oya Sheftalovich. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico pro-policy morning newsletters.